No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, first up, we take a look at the business stories making today's papers, and indeed some stories from the week that was. I'm delighted to be joined by Caroline Reading of the Reedy of the HR Suite and Doug Keating of Avalon. Good morning to you both.
Morning,
Bobby.
Firstly, Caroline, thank you for those lovely pastries you brought in this morning. Always gets us off to a good start.
A sugar rush, can't beat it.
Let's get straight to business, because the business supplement of the Irish Independent, and it's a very short one today, it's all on one page. But the main story is that stocks wipe out heads for $5 trillion as tariffs raise expectations of a global recession. And do they what?
Do they what is right? I think it's obviously made the headlines all week in the anticipation for what the address everybody was expecting. And I think it didn't disappoint in terms of the shock factor. I suppose the markets obviously have reacted very negatively as expected. And also then on top of that, the impact on goods and services, both within the US for the consumer there and obviously so many of our industries. And what I thought is really interesting is that we're starting to hear about, for example, China being the largest buyer of the US soybeans and how that's going to impact. And then industries in Ireland, how they're going to be impacted. But all these niche businesses, food producers, machinery producers, obviously we're waiting for more news on the pharma, the lumber. There's more to come, and he has said that. But without doubt, a real shock, both from the market's perspective and the impact on goods and services.
Doug, Trump doesn't listen to anybody, or many certainly, but he does take note of what the stock market does. And that's, if there's one way to get to him, it's through the stock market. And, you know, we're certainly seeing evidence of that now. Or are we?
Well, I'm not sure. Well, look, if he's listening, there's definitely a message being sent, which was that, you know, Liberation Day was not Liberation Day. It was kind of Liquidation Day as far as Wall Street was concerned. Look, I think Trump, you know, he came out with a soundbite around, you know, the patient is sick. I'm operating on the patient. And then, you know, the patient is going to get better. I mean, he's thoroughly lobotomized the patient. And whether he can put it back together again remains to be seen. Look, as Caroline said, there's various strands to this, and just we'll do the markets bit and then maybe get on to the trade. I mean, on the markets, I do think it's very stark what happened. I do think it's bigger than what was expected. You know, S&P 500, which is like the benchmark of how the US stock market is, down 9% in 2 days. But it's global. You know, everything's down. Europe, Asia, everyone's panicking. And why does this matter? Look, it's not just a bunch of rich people that are being hit by it. It's our pension funds. It's money that's saved and invested. It's the Irish sovereign wealth fund. Everything is out there in stock markets. And look, I'm not a stock market expert, so you can take this with whatever pinch of salt you want. But one thing I think is worth remembering is that the stock markets are coming, particularly US stock markets, from an incredibly high level already.
Yeah.
So, you know, the S&P 500 was at about its peak in the middle of February, about 6,100. The air was already coming out of the balloon. It was down 9% by the eve of Liberation Day. It's now down another 9%. So we're down 18% from peak. But actually, we're still above the 52-week low for the S&P 500. I think we could have a lot more to go, because stocks in the US particularly were incredibly highly valued, arguably overvalued.
What about the Irish Independent editorial, just a kind of a stoic look through the logic behind all this, talking about coercive control? I think the summary of that piece, Caroline, where amid all this uncertainty about what to do next, one thing remains clear. History is a searing reminder that protectionism is the one sure way of making a bad situation worse.
Yeah, well said. And I think what we're also seeing is how the different economies are going reacting now. And we've heard Ursula von der Leyen very clearly saying an attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. So very much kind of seeing that we're all in this together and we're going to fight back hard. Yet we see our own government, both Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, saying, look, we need to keep cool here. And this talk that Simon Harris will travel to meet the US Secretary of Commerce. And I suppose it's like steady the ship, wait and see what happens, versus China, who obviously are after attacking hard back.
So, yeah, you mentioned staying cool there, Caroline. Coalition Cool on tariff-related supports at the front page of the Irish Times tells us, Doug. So we're unlikely, the word coming out of this piece is that we're unlikely to see these kind of COVID type of schemes that help employers keep people in work. Well, certainly at this juncture.
Well, look,
that may change.
Everyone is worried. It's panic mode, and it looks, you know, and it's stressful. And interest groups are doing what interest groups should do, which is going out and thinking about how they can protect their members. So, in this piece, we talk about ICTU, the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, saying the government needs to reduce VAT or reduce income tax to protect workers. You have IBEC representing employers saying we need initiatives, COVID style protect employment initiatives. They've even thrown in we need to get rid of the health controls that are being introduced on alcohol. Now, to my mind, what you're seeing is interest groups doing what they should do, which is go out and lobby for members. But actually, kind of in crises, you're like, you go in and just go with all your usual talking points of things you'd like to see. And I think the government is probably doing the right thing to say, well, hang on, wait and see, throwing money into various funds when we don't know how this plays out. It's not that there may not need to be supports, but I mean, the idea of a blanket across the board VAT cut, you know, much
way too early for that.
My goods to become cheaper, it does not seem very strategic.
I think one thing to add to that, though, is one thing we got right during COVID was we said, okay, this is the plan, and everybody was clear on what the plan was, because, you know, it wasn't like, you know, I'm on my own and what am I going to do? I think there's a lot of small businesses, particularly food producers, you know, those dependent on steel, etc. And it is fear factor big time. And what you don't want is people making short term reactions and, you know, cutting jobs and doing kind of major things that are going to have a huge impact. I think, you know, we definitely need a plan. I think we need to give these businesses
a sort of targeted and smart plan.
Absolutely.
Rather than, you know, across the board.
Very hard to plan,
buying plan
in the midst of chaos, or it when is. We don't know, you know, as things are changing daily. So, you know, you're probably better off holding your counsel.
I mean, we don't know what the EU retaliation, you know.
No, we should wait till at least that.
And that is going to be pretty important, I think, in
I
terms
agree.
Of how that plays out.
Caroline, can I get your thoughts on, I suppose, a consumer piece, or I suppose a reality piece of a lady writing from the US in today's Independent, I think it was, a lady called Gemma Allen, talking about having moved to the UK. I think she's nearly 10 years there. She's married, has a couple of kids. And she was just talking about life for her as an Irish person and just the change that she sees on the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gemma has moved to the US. She's in New York for the last 10 years and has proceeded to have two children over there with her husband. And basically, she's just saying that it's not just the political piece that there's huge uncertainty about. She mentioned that herself and her husband work in tech and the uncertainty and nervousness around that. And I think one of the biggest things she talks about is, even though there's inflation on the price of eggs, as we know, childcare, fear of what happens with your pension, because as Doug rightly said, everything is in the stocks and it's all so uncertain. But she also talks about the uncertainty of, you know, you can't really talk to anybody anymore the way you could before. Politics is kind of off topic. And also the worry of how immigrants are going to be treated now going forward, yeah, etc. So it's the social and cultural piece of nervousness and uncertainty combined with that uncertainty as well. And I think for most people, you know, that plan of my pension and, you know, what'll I do in the future? A lot of people, I would say, they're nervous now as to what'll I do next and even stay in the country, etc., etc., you know.
Doug, staying with Irish business, a company that many of you will know, Cashel Blue, refusing to quit the US market. A girl called Sarah Furno, the owner of Cashel Blue, she's saying that things weren't great in the US anyway, and that luckily for them that they've got some reserves, that they don't have to panic. But she did say that it was a difficult market and now it's just become more difficult.
Yeah, so I mean, and I'm very partial to Cashel Blue, so I wish Sarah well. But yeah, I mean, this is an entry level, I suppose an example to show, you know, there's going to be lots of Irish producers, particularly specialty food, alcohol, etc., selling into the US, who must be very scared about what the tariff impact is going to have on them. And whilst Cashel Blue doesn't sound like it's massively exposed to the US market, there are several other businesses that will be. And the reality is, you know, a tariff increase is going to have one of, you know, two things. Either, you know, people are going to pay the 20% extra and buy your product and they have less money. So it's a hit to the US consumer, i.e. a tax. Or they're going to say that's too expensive and not buy the product, and the Cashel Blue company is going to sell less product.
You will also see distributors over there maybe taking a cut in their margin, the you know, there'll be things like that.
Yes, so
to try and to maybe try not.
Maybe, so it's not going to be the full.
If they can.
If they can. But yeah, everyone is going to squeeze their, have to tighten their belts. And so I guess one of the things you're seeing, and it was in the call from IBEC, was around trying to help Irish producers, you know, finding new markets and export credit guarantees, etc. Maybe that's, we were talking about kind of smart initiatives. How can we help people pivot and find new markets?
Yeah.
We're constantly doing that anyway, but it's going to have to become more of a priority.
Yeah, okay. Caroline, moving to away from tariffs and indeed Cashel Blue Cheese, householders hold on to billions in COVID savings. Sorry, no, we'll be coming to that later. I want to talk about the spring sun, seeing that Irish solar production hits a new peak. And this is very interesting when we look at our alternative energies and a renewable energy, indeed, that so much of it now is coming from solar.
Yeah, I suppose it's still a small percentage overall. It's still only 3% of the total electricity, so it's still mostly wind. But what we are seeing is that, for example, on the 25th of March, which was the peak, I was trying to remember that day and remember how sunny it was, but it hit an all-time high where it had enough power for 300 homes to be powered. So we're seeing that
300,000
homes to be done. Yeah. So again, we're seeing a huge increase in terms of that going well. And the grid now, between obviously solar and primarily wind, is hitting its 75% renewable target and looking to increase it. So now our next priority is to look at the battery storage, where we can hold the excess and use it when we require it. But good to see the whole, I suppose, wind and solar on the rise. And definitely, I think with costs and all the other things going on, this is a good news story.
It's funny though, Doug, is it not, that some days, you know, there's no renewable energy depending on conditions. So,
well, that is, I suppose that is the problem, that, you know, when the wind don't blow and the sun don't shine, you don't have electricity, which is why I think the maximum that they take from renewables is 75%, because we're always going to need that backup supply. But I mean, well, A, it's a nice reminder that March was pretty sunny.
Yeah.
But B, we are making significant progress, particularly on wind, but also on solar in the energy mix.
Housing never seems to go away, but again, I like people who analyse, you know, it. And one such commentary is TUD's man Lorcan Sir, who's, you know, considered an authority on this very subject. But he's talking today about the five myths around the housing crisis, and there were a couple of stats in there certainly that caught my eye. I don't know, what about you guys?
Well, look, I sometimes feel I've read more Irish Times opinion pieces on housing than I've seen houses built in Ireland. And this is another, which I'm afraid my view was it was sort of long on criticisms and short on solutions. To maybe summarise Mr. Sir's argument, he kind of lays out five myths he thinks that are going on in the housing market. He thinks it's a myth that we need more land rezoned. He thinks it's a myth that housing built at scale is the solution. He thinks it's a myth that we need more supply. He thinks it's a myth that there's a planning problem in Ireland, and he thinks it's a myth when the government says we've got this. And I'll be honest with you, of the five myths, there are four I disagree with, because I disagree on those, and I particularly think building at scale is the solution. But I do agree with the last one. The idea that we've got this is a myth, because we obviously still don't. It's 10 years into it and we're not building enough houses, and house prices are going higher and rents are going higher.
Well, I didn't know that there were 70,000 houses and apartments with planning permission granted that were never built. I didn't know that.
Agreed. Nor did I know that,
sorry, Caroline, that there are 50,000 unbuilt housing units with planning in Dublin, according to the housing agency data analysed by the Dublin Democratic Planning Alliance, whoever they are. What did you not know, Caroline?
I didn't know about the water supply issue, where there's only enough for 35,000 homes per year, like that annual completion targets are a real issue around that. Nor did I know about the huge shortage in planners in the county councils.
Short 350 to 400.
Yeah. So.
Well, they're the things that, and again, I liked Doug's take on it, but I just thought if you read through something and you find three or four things that you didn't know, it makes it a good read. I wanted to talk, and I mentioned it earlier, about households losing 800 million in unearned interest. And this is why our banks are so profitable, I'd suggest, that so many of us are willing to use, you know, overnight withdrawal accounts, not earning no interest, and we don't search for something that will give us a bit of a return on money, to a point where, as I say, they're saying that there's 800 million in unearned interest out there during 1 year, which is last year, 2024.
Yeah, I think
it's a massive figure.
Massive. And I think it gives us a big wake up call to say that the euro average is 86% and we're at 54. So it is kind of stark. And I suppose it's one of the things that financial planning and being good at knowing what to do with your money, and I suppose having competition as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, to have options, because for a lot of them, they're, you know, the rates are so bad.
Doug, I don't know when you last parked your car at Dublin Airport, but I can tell you that the DAA made 1.4 million a week from its car parks. That was, they earned in 2023, this is, they earned 73.8 million from the car parks. And what you love this. There's 22,600 spaces out there, right? That gives them 3,000 odd a year. But really, this is the bit I really liked. According to the DAA's accounts, there was a 5.4 million charge in 20. That was the cost associated with running the car parks, which was 7.3% of the sales.
So
the margin on car parking is 93%.
It's a profitable business, and I guess you can imagine that you have the land and it's there, and you have to have some people and a barrier, etc. But it doesn't cost a lot. You know, it's obviously a good business for them. 74 million revenue this year, up from 67 million a year ago. I mean, what it said to me, and like as a consumer, I do sit there and say, you know, next weekend I am going to the airport and I'm looking and trying to say, will I park the car? And it has got very expensive, and I do end up, to go in the short term, it's cheaper to get two taxis. It is. Probably cheaper to go in the long term than two taxis. But when you put in the ease and stuff of getting a taxi and not having to get a bus into the airport, it's it's becoming a difficult choice to get the airport. The article does make the other point that the CCPC, the Consumer Protection Commission, did block the DAA's plans to buy another long-term car park that's by the airport last year, which is now being run by someone else under the Park to Travel brand. And, you know, when you look at the returns they're making and the costs, it would seem on competition and consumer grounds that wasn't the worst decision.
Yeah. All right. We'll end on we're all going to bed earlier in the age of Netflix, as we're told by the Irish Mail today. Roger Dobson tells us Netflix sending us to the nest 20 minutes earlier than 20 years ago. What do you make of that, Caroline?
I think what's really interesting, though, is that it's basically saying that people are now doing on-demand watching. So you watch at a time that suits your schedule rather than...
And particularly the younger group. The older people still watch live TV, or a bit of them.
Yeah, over 65, yeah, they still are the same. But like 18 to 29-year-olds hit the hay at 9:42. But I wonder how much streaming.
I can get my 15-year-olds in bed at 9:42.
And I wonder how much streaming and all that good stuff goes on, or phone watching and all that after that time. So I'm not quite sure that by hitting the hay, it means
they're
actually
binge watching on a tablet for the next 3 hours and going to bed at 1 a.m.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Again, thank you to my esteemed business panel of Caroline Reedy and indeed Doug Keating. Enjoy your weekend, folks.
Thanks
a million.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
Running a business can be exhausting. Building your website shouldn't be. With Wix, you can express your ideas, give direction, then leave the heavy lifting to AI. From site creation to branded content and images. Have fun with the details. Customize what you want the way you want. And manage your whole business from a centralized dashboard with expert AI tools. Build, scale, and enjoy the incredible results. You can do it all yourself on Wix.